Jake, Eddie, and Susanna stared in fascination at the haggard face beneath the frozen hat as the floor began to thrum gently beneath their feet. The resemblance to Roland was remarkable. "I had to work rather fast, I'm afraid," Blaine said modestly. "Does it do anything for you?"
"It's absolutely amazing," Susanna said.
"Thank you, Susanna of New York." Eddie was testing one of the sofas with his hand. It was incredibly soft. Touching it made him want to sleep for at least 16 hours.
"The great old ones really traveled in style, didn't they?"
Blaine laughed again, and the shrill, not quite sane undertone of that laugh made them look at each other uneasily. "Don't get the wrong idea," Blaine said. "This was the Barony cabin, what I believe you would call first class."
"Where are the other cars?"
Blaine ignored the question. Beneath their feet, the throb of the engines continued to speed up. Susanna was reminded of how the pilots revved their engines before charging down the runway at LaGuardia or Idlewild. "Please take your seats, my interesting new friends." Jake dropped into one of the swivel chairs. Oi jumped promptly into his lap. Roland took the chair nearest him, sparing one glance at the ice sculpture. The barrel of the revolver was beginning to drip slowly into the shallow china basin in which the sculpture stood. Eddie sat down on one of the sofas with Susanna. It was every bit as comfortable as his hand had told him it would be.
"Exactly where are we going, Blaine?"
Blaine replied in the patient voice of someone who realizes he is speaking to a mental inferior and must make allowances. "Along the path of the beam, at least as far along it as my track goes."
"To the Dark Tower?" Roland asked.
Susanna realized it was the first time the gunslinger had actually spoken to the loquacious ghost in the machine below Ludd.
"Only as far as Topeka," Jake said in a low voice.
"Yes," Blaine said. "Topeka is the name of my terminating point, although I am surprised you know it."
"With all you know about our world," Jake thought, "how come you don't know that some lady wrote a book about you, Blaine? Was it the name change? Was something that simple enough to fool a complicated machine like you into overlooking your own biography? And what about Beryl Evans, the woman who supposedly wrote Charlie the Choo-Choo? Did you know her, Blaine? And where is she now?"
Good questions, but Jake somehow didn't think this would be a good time to ask them. The throb of the engines became steadily stronger. A faint thud, not nearly as strong as the explosion which had shaken the cradle as they boarded, ran through the floor. An expression of alarm crossed Susanna's face.
"Oh, shit! Eddie, my wheelchair! It's back there!"
Eddie put an arm around her shoulders. "Too late now, babe," he said, as Blaine the Mono began to move, sliding toward its slot in the cradle for the first time in 10 years, and for the last time in its long, long history.